Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so today we're going to be looking at Pixar and what Pixar can teach us about creative collaboration. Let's go ahead and dive right into it. A few years ago, I read Creativity Inc., and it changed the way I thought about the creative process and also the collaborative process. It's written by Ed Catmull. He's the president and co-founder of Pixar and Disney Animation. And the book explores the topics of innovation, creativity, and leadership by offering a behind-the-scenes account of the Pixar story. That's part of what I loved about it. It wasn't just a story of big ideas, but it's a story of an actual company that's been doing some really innovative stuff, if you don't count Cars 2, because that movie was horrible. Anyway, I'm naturally skeptical when people point to corporations as examples that schools should emulate. I get it. We are not making products, and we should not be governed by simply economic norms. But I've always admired Pixar for the fact that they consistently craft amazing stories. Well, again, mostly amazing stories. The first 15 minutes of Up are some of the best cinema around, and I'm not afraid to admit that it made me cry the first time, and the second time, and maybe the third and fourth time. What strikes me, though, is how they have achieved such creative success with two leaders who seem to be the opposite of the bold, brash CEOs that you're used to seeing talking about innovative companies, right? Pixar is more about democratic collaboration, and that's part of why I want to explore what they can teach us about the collaborative process. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Number one, creativity isn't a solitary endeavor. We tend to think of the lone creative types hashing out ideas all by themselves. However, I'm struck by the fact that the best creative ideas are often solved by entire teams. What I found fascinating about Pixar is the way they empower so many people to contribute. The structure is surprisingly non-hierarchical, from the meetings to the decision-making to the fact that nobody gets a special parking spot. Now, they do have a hierarchy. They have people who are in charge. I get it. But the feel, the ethos of the place is democratic. And this is an important reminder that the best creative projects are nearly always collaborative. Number two, critical feedback doesn't have to crush creativity. When trust and transparency are present, critical feedback can fuel creative thinking. If you check out the book, I'd highly recommend that you read the section on the brain trust meetings. As Catmull puts it, we believe that ideas and thus films only become great when they are challenged and tested. There's a key idea here of testing and challenging, and it's that creative collaborative groups should value candor. This is part of why I always use the 20-minute peer feedback system in my classroom. I wanted my students to understand that criticism isn't the same as being a hater. It's actually a vital part of what happens when you truly trust each other enough to be vulnerable and to share your work with one another. It doesn't always feel good. Sometimes emotions run high. Sometimes there's difficulty. I get it. That's true of adults who collaborate. But in the end, it not only makes your work better, but it makes the collaborative process better. The more you can share and be critical and be vulnerable, the closer you become. Number three, there is power in pivoting. Pixar began as a technology company that slowly moved into filmmaking. Their movies often take multiple shapes, with constant pivoting along the way. And typically, they have one foot on an idea, concept, or value, and then they keep trying new things until it works. And that's where they plant their foot on the second space, hence the pivoting idea. I loved in the book when I got to see how movies like Monsters, Inc. evolved over years of planning from horrible ideas into great movies. And this is important for students working on collaborative projects because too often they get stuck on one idea and they won't pivot. They need to see that pivoting doesn't mean you failed. It means you're simply being flexible. It means that you're being adaptable. It's a good thing, and it's what great creative thinkers do. Number four, play matters. Pixar has built celebrations into their company culture. They throw parties, they go on retreats, they encourage workers to cover their workspace with personal trinkets, but it runs much deeper than that. Some of the best creative breakthroughs have come from these Pixar short films, which are essentially sandbox spaces to test out new approaches and to allow a small team to learn a broader range of skills. It's important to build play into your student collaboration as well. If you're working on a long project, your kids are going to get tired. It's going to become a grind. But play allows them to find energy and to reconnect with a group. It ultimately allows them to hit those creative breakthroughs. Sometimes in the midst of a creative project, if my students were, back when I taught middle school, if they were doing a 3 or 4 week long project, we might take one day to just to do like a short-term maker challenge for a day or something like that. And it was playful and it was fun and it was hands-on and it broke up the collaboration for just a day to allow them to laugh a little bit and have fun and do something different. And then they would re-enter and they'd be rejuvenized and they'd be rested and they'd be ready to go. Number five, trust the process. Although Pixar is incredibly flexible, they have structures and processes that allow creativity to happen. One quote that struck me in the book was, "People who take on complicated creative projects become lost at some point in the process. However, there are certain processes that allow these people," end quote, by the way, forgot to say that, that help people through these dark parts of the journey. And I think it's important that we have these processes and structures that allow for better collaboration, that encourage creativity. In other words, structure isn't something that has to kill creative collaboration. Instead, it's something that should encourage and develop and improve the process of creative collaboration. All right, number six, you can't value risk-taking unless you allow for mistakes. Now, this is a theme that popped up over and over and over again, but it goes beyond simply the typical embrace your mistakes mantra that you hear on social media. It's the idea of having a growth mindset and knowing that experimentation means mistakes are just going to happen. There's this sharp contrast in the book. It's a story where Steve Jobs fires an Apple employee in front of the entire company. By contrast, Catmull wanted Pixar's employees to feel the freedom to make mistakes and grow as a result. When I think of the classroom, I want my students to feel like mistakes are just a part of the learning process. Number seven, art and science are complementary. This was one of the earliest themes. I've seen folks in STEM who bemoan the A being added to STEAM. They say it's not art, it's supposed to be science, technology. But I'm struck by the fact that there is always artistry in science. And there's so much science in the art of storytelling as well. A similar thought is that you can create something innovative and timeless at the same time. So as students engage in creative thinking, as they work collaboratively, we need to explore how this collaborative process can honor both art and science. Now, I don't have the answers here. This is just something that I'm still trying to figure out. So if you have good ideas, I would encourage you to go to the blog post that connects to this and leave a comment. Share how you can add science and math to your collaborative process. All right, number eight. We need mental models to battle fear. This was a huge take-home for me. Creativity is scary. I've had moments when writing a novel or when working on a collaborative project or doing a sketchy video where I don't want to post things online. I don't want to share my work. I get terrified. I just stop doing what I'm doing. I worry about what people think. I worry about entering the unknown without any assurance that what I'm going to create is any good. What I loved about the book is the fact that the fear never goes away. They emphasize that. If anything, it intensifies when you're successful. There's a reason that so many people have like a great first novel and then they stop writing. Or their other ones aren't as risky, right? It's because you get risk averse when you become successful. There's a section in the book where they explore the fear that the directors face and the mental models they use to make sense out of everything. Pixar has a process for getting past creative blocks and frustration. And this is important for creative collaboration because an entire group can get stuck and they become risk averse in their creativity. But if we have mental models that help us through this, then in the end, we are better able to conquer our fears. Number 9, the goal of creative collaboration isn't creativity. Or you could say that the goal of creativity isn't creativity. With Pixar, the goal is always telling a good story. That's their goal. That's what they're all about. And I would argue that they not only go for telling a good story, they are in the business of making myths. They create really good mythology. So creativity isn't what drives the storytelling. Rather, storytelling drives the creativity. This, by the way, is why I rarely talk to my students about creativity. I don't assess it. I don't place it on a rubric. I don't tell students, go out and be creative. I don't want that. I want groups to focus on the purpose of the creativity, not on creativity itself. Number 10, people are more important than ideas. There's a great quote in the book that reads, "Ideas come from people, therefore people are more important than ideas. Too many of us think of ideas as being singular, as if they float in the ether, fully formed and independent of the people who wrestle with them. Ideas, though, are not singular. They are forged through thousands of decisions, often made by dozens of people." This has a few big implications for creative collaboration. First, it means that trust and relationships are more important than the products that we make. Second, it means that we need to be okay to abandon ideas without taking things personally. And finally, it means our success in generating ideas does not define who we are as people. Ultimately, the success of a group isn't the product they create so much as the way they relate to one another. Now, I don't believe that we should be patterning our schools after Pixar, nor do I believe that every team or organization or business should run on the Pixar model. However, the book is a great way to spark thoughts on creative collaboration in a way that is not prescriptive or systematic. If you love a great story that will challenge your thinking, I seriously encourage you to go buy it. Seriously, it is one of my favorite books on creativity. But if not, my hope would be that you found at least something useful here that you could take into your classroom and use. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, would you go leave a review on Apple Podcasts, which is basically iTunes. They change the name for some reason. I don't know why. Or on Stitcher. So with that being said, just want to say thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. Go out and make something.